to be present with her. And in Jesus' name we say, Holly, be well. Sickness, leave now. In Jesus' name, whatever is causing illness, we just send you away. Any pain, any germs, be gone now in Jesus' name. And be well, Holly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, y'all had homework for tonight.
No.
It was a new thing for us. Hoping that some of you had a chance to think through it. And I'm just going to actually first read what the assignment, quote unquote, said, just as a reminder, kind of get us in, because even if you did it, I know sometimes you kind of need a little jog, right? So it said on the sheet there, it said, so we might mentally acknowledge lots of things about God and our faith, but still have a hard time really believing them deep in our gut. And God is taking us somewhere as a church. Jess talked about that in one of her last sermons. And we have a responsibility and an opportunity to really look at the things that might keep us from grabbing hold of it so that we don't miss out on what God is doing. But we don't want to just get stuck on what's hard for us, so let's also think about what's true. Like, what new beliefs can we start to grab hold of? So that's what tonight is about. And we've been kind of on the preaching team talking about this a bit more, trying to be prepared, and we've been thinking about it in a variety of ways. One of the things we've been kind of liking is this idea of agreeing with something versus believing in something. Like, if we agree with something theologically or faith-wise, but we don't actually live it out, then we don't really believe it. We agree with it, but if we believe it, it's gonna change how we live. And like, one of the ways we thought about that is like, the source of that is different. When you agree with something, the source of it is external to you. You know, it's out there, something is out there, and you say, oh yeah, I agree with that. Whereas when you believe it, the source of it is within yourself, right? And so we're trying to find areas where we need to make a shift between agreeing with something like in our minds and like believing it in our guts, right? Like, that's another way I've been thinking about it. Like, your head belief versus like your gut belief, you know? Because there's plenty of things that I would say, yes, I agree with that, but like it's not coming from in my guts, you know? And I got thinking about how this is, number one, we have this awesome opportunity to be the kind of church, both size-wise and just culture-wise, where we can take a break and just talk about our own experiences. Like, that's not all that normal. So it's a really cool opportunity, but it also really is very sobering to me that we need to address the stuff that can keep us from really getting on board with what God is doing. Because like, there's, you know that verse that says that there are people who have a form of godliness but deny its power, right? Like, that's like a sobering thought, that we could be in a place where we have a form of godliness, but like, we're kind of denying the reality of it. So tonight is not about, like, what's wrong with you? Like, we're mad at you because you have issues. Because we all have issues. It's more like, let's flush this stuff out because we all have stuff and we have this chance to deal with it. And so we hope that you guys are willing to share, especially remembering that even if something doesn't seem like a big deal, like maybe it seems like, oh, well, I should have gotten that ages ago or whatever. Sometimes like one person gets something and it's like seems like no big deal, but it's like a huge revelation to somebody else, right? And so like, this is a great time to just process through stuff together. So what we're gonna start with is, you know, we asked you to kind of think through some areas that are like roadblocks and then meditate on what the real truth is. Like, not just find a verse, but like a gut kind of truth. And so we wanted to start with, if you feel like you've had kind of any breakthroughs with that, and we want to start with that and celebrate those things. And then if there's time for stuff where you're like, yeah, I came up with a list of like challenges or struggles or things I'm cynical about or things that seem too good to be true, those are kind of some of the categories we talked about, but I never really found a kind of truth I can grab hold of, we still would hope you'd share that, and we can maybe process some of that together. And if we have a list that continues till next month, we're gonna do that next month. So there's time, there's freedom here. So anybody wanna start with like a, yeah, I feel like God really like got this new truth through to me while I was praying about this. Yes.
I can start.
Great.
So
something I've been pretty open about is kind of my struggles and just my doubts concerning all of the holy weird ones, maybe, like we've been talking about. Just some major breakthroughs recently is I've been able to kind of confide in the biblical truth, and really the next step for me, it was a big process, about a 4-year process really, and you guys kind of saw the tail of the end of it, of me getting to the point where even like the word like charismatic is not a bad word, and just like even just anything associated with that was just really foreign to me. And so I've gotten to that point now where I actually can say truthfully this, I believe that the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit continues on to today, in the same way that it was in the apostolic era when there were still apostles and everything. And I can honestly say that it is not just for that leadership, but it is for the members of the body. And that is a definite truth. And so for me, I just want to kind of like proclaim that and like victory and that kind of stuff. But for me, like the next step is actually to walk out that, which is probably scarier than anything I've done so far. Mm-hmm. So the next step is to really figure out, okay, now what does that mean for me? What sort of gifts do I maybe already operate in? And what kind of gifts, maybe like some of those like weirder ones, am I okay with or maybe want to operate in? Mm-hmm. I'm at the point where I've never been at this point before. I'm at the point where I can, with an honest and open heart, really pray that, like, really pray to receive gifts. And that's just some crazy mind-blowing stuff in my life. And so that's just almost a praise as much as it is me saying that I've had a lot of victory in that area recently.
That's awesome. Thanks, Riley.
Yeah.
You swell. Anybody else have like a light bulb moment? Well, maybe a light bulb if it's in your guts. That's kind of,
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. No.
I had kind of a revelation in a way I wasn't expecting. Because I wrote down a bunch of, like, I have questions about this, I have questions about this, I'm hung up on this, I'm hung up on this. And then when I went to, like, kind of give that to God and be like, okay, like, what, help me with this, like, teach me truth, etc., like, the response from God wasn't necessarily like, here's a bunch of answers to counteract that. It was more questioning, like, why I had those on there. Like, what's really behind this, Jessica, kind of a thing. And as I was processing it with God, it was almost like he was saying, like, you're hiding behind a lot of the things on this list and acting like these are the reasons why you don't want the Spirit, when in reality, you don't want it because, like, things are weird and you might have to, like, step outside of your comfort zone and do things you don't want to do. And like, the truth of that kind of, like was hard to hear, but in, like, a good way, because it was like, okay, that's what I need to be pursuing and addressing, is this almost, like, stubbornness that I have with things of just, like, well, but I don't want to. That's hard, kind of a thing. And I'm not saying that that's like why other people have things on their list. But for me, it was kind of this like, oh, I can't hide behind these questions that like are valid questions, but they're more like curiosity questions, and pretend like that's the reason why I'm not pursuing the Spirit. When it actually comes down to it, there's like different things that are going on. So it, you know, isn't the funnest thing sometimes with conviction, but it was still like a good kind of freeing moment of like, okay, now I know what to pursue in that area with God. It's not necessarily pursuing all the answers, because there's, you know, I could get all the answers in the world, but if I'm not willing to pursue God, then that still is going to be an issue for me. So
that's, thanks for sharing.
for sharing that, Jess. That's huge. I bet you that's true for a lot more of us than we would like to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really huge.
Andrew made it!
We forgot to announce why you were here, but now you're here, so
I'm here.
Hey.
Never mind. Andrew's here.
Yay! Not to put you on the spot in front of everybody, but would you care to take away some ambiguity and share any of the things that are on your list that you were thinking that about? Or is that just, like, still working through it?
I can try to remember. I mean, like, I could literally jot down all kinds of, like, stuff. Like, I feel like I've shared some of these already, but, like, what happens when you, like, I have a friend who has a disability, and she's very, like, this is part of who I am, and I don't want God to heal it, this from me because it's who I am. And so then I could spend, you know, a lot of time just percolating on that of like, well, maybe God doesn't want us to heal anyone and let that kind of sidetrack me instead of, and then I like focus on that instead of focusing on like, okay, let's dial it back because that might be one case, but that isn't every case. And I can't let that be the thing I hold on to when that's not actually the thing. So I've also been praying a lot about boldness too in the midst of just kind of like learning about the Spirit too, because for me that takes a lot of boldness to go out and like pursue God in these types of ways. Like going up to someone and praying for healing is not a normal thing that we do, and I think for a while it's easy to just kind of get frustrated with ourselves and say like, well, why aren't we good at this? We're never going to be good at this. This is too hard. And so I've started instead being like, okay, God, if you want me to do these kind of things, like, you're a God who helps his children, and so can you give me boldness? Can you give me confidence in your faithfulness and those kind of things? And, I mean, it hasn't been, like, a insta-switch kind of thing, but there's been a lot of times where it's like, no, like, I am, like, the King of Kings' daughter, and, like, I have authority, and I don't need to be afraid, and so...
One of the things, this is a bit of a sidetrack, but one of the things that's helped me with that has been, you know, this guy we mentioned that we're hoping to get here to come do some teaching that we've been listening to. He talks about, like, okay, so with healing, for example, if we're commanded to go and heal, which there's a pretty strong argument in Scripture that we are, then even if it doesn't work, would I rather be, like, obedient and fail, or would I rather be disobedient and fail? Like, and, like, in the end, even if it doesn't work, I would rather, like, say that I was obedient and I tried, right? And for, so, like, there's the boldness part, but for me there's also just, like, the, well, I said I signed up for this. Like, I said I signed up to actually follow Jesus and do what he said, so, shoot, here I go, you know? It's like, yeah, don't feel bold, but I can't, like, weasel my way out of this one, you know? Like, dang it. I've had a few really awkward, like, walk past the person. Oh, final turnaround! It's so much easier if you just stop the first time instead of having to turn around and walk back. But, anyway. Sorry. Tangent.
It's not a tangent for me. I don't even know what we're doing here. What are we doing
You
here?
Know exactly what we're doing. You have to play this.
Well, no, but where are
we're
we?
Still sharing celebrating breakthroughs. Okay. Yeah.
One thing I've realized that I've been thinking about for a while, probably a couple months now, is how I compartmentalize things. So it's like, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago, like, this is my spiritual devotional time, and the rest is the time where I go to work, and then I do this, and then, and I think, like, you know, like, being bold and talking to people and praying for them, and, like, if there's no compartments, then those things easily bleed into everything else, and then there's just, like, a hole. So it's not like, oh, shift gears, I'm at work. It's like, oh, I'm still who I am, and there's someone talking about something, and I can, like, share with them. And so that's helped me a lot. So it's not like, I don't know, I've met some people like that. I knew some missionaries that were like, I can't wait to go home and not have to, like, be doing stuff all the time. And I was like, you're in the wrong field. If that's the way you're looking at being a missionary. And then I'm kind of, like, exactly the same way. So it's been helpful to... just like reframe that, because then it's not like changing who you are or changing what your values are or changing what your goals are, because they're the same all the time because you're the same whole person. just looks different depending on where you are and like what the need is or what the context is, I think. So like clearly here I'll have a different conversation than I will with people at work, you know, and vice versa.
When I was in Tanzania, I saw someone walking on the street and I was like, I should go talk to them and pray for them. And I was like, I don't know, maybe if I was on a mission trip, that would make more sense. And I was like, Jessica, like, come on. Like, it was ridiculous, but I was like, dang, like, okay.
That's so good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like exactly that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm on a missions trip, so it's my whatever to do this and this. And it's like, okay, but
yeah.
What?
Yep.
Just a side note on that, at Bethany, where they're, like, training missionaries and stuff, they don't train people to, like, be these, like, hyper-spiritual people. They're training, like, business people, and they're training, like, school teachers, and they're training, like, very normal people that live normal lives. And the idea is that we will, like, proclaim the gospel in that very normal life. The idea is to just like get in with the culture, and then just being a Christian there, being a good Christian there, will naturally spread the gospel. And being a good Christian is actively spreading the gospel as well. So that's where that is.
Which is, by reflection, convicting for the rest of us who it's like, okay, we're not going as missionaries, but if we're business people or teachers or whatever, like,
it's the same deal.
It's exactly.
People get all weirded out when people say, okay, I'm gonna be a missionary. That really doesn't mean anything different or fancy. Well, all it means is in addition to being a normal person, I may be going to learn a different language and go to a different place. So instead of seeing him as this military
father figure that loves me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we've been in this. You're new. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, for like the last year.
Yeah.
And one of the fun things that we kind of manage to focus on every so often, we're not like obsessed about it, but one of the other things that you might enjoy exploring is how frequently in Scripture the Holy Spirit is portrayed as a mother or as a woman. And so there's also that aspect of God. There's the intimacy of a husband, but there's also the fierce protectiveness and gentleness of a mother, which is another fun area to explore in your, you know, journey into that. So as we talk about the Spirit, that's another thing to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just working on one thing.
Oh, yeah. No, just throwing it out there because it's, you know, it might catch you off guard.
Later, but I don't know about this now.
Not something to work on, something to be
aware
of.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have some
new. Is this the part where we acknowledge the distraction?
Acknowledge the distraction.
Yeah.
We have some guests. Hi guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome to Salvage Yard.
We're Jesus Lord, we belong to each other.
That's right.
We're having a discussion about our issues with the Holy Spirit and whether there are places where we've been kind of stuck, and that over the last few weeks we've been trying to process individually, and whether we're sharing stories of places where God has maybe broken through with like a new truth we can grab hold of in our guts rather than a purely acknowledgement. So that's what we're sharing at the moment.
And for those who don't know,
yes, that's Mark. That's Kirsty.
Don't get him switched.
They used to be around here.
Should I go?
Sure.
So, one of the things I got stuck on, you know, so the whole T-chart thing, right, like in our homework was like, what are things that are too good to be true?
I think you're the only one who uses the term teacher.
Yeah. I don't know
you're
what
a teacher.
It's a I went to school, right? Like,
nobody ever called it a teacher. No.
Is it like a team lead?
All right, so what would you call this thing? What is it?
It looks
like homework.
It looks,
you know, it was, yeah, it was. It's due today. But what do we call it?
A chart. A table.
It's a chart.
Yeah,
a table?
It's a matrix.
It's a T-shirt.
Yeah, you're in school. You got the upper hand here.
It's not a T,
yeah,
though. It's
it is 100% a T.
Well,
it's
the reason it's a
T-chart
is because in its most simplistic form.
If we wanted to be more Christian, we could make it a cross chart.
But it's a T, but anyway.
On this T-chart, on the left-hand side of things too good to be true, I caught myself like multiple times just being in situations where like, I was hoping to do something or hoping not to get like struck by lightning or something, and just being like, well, can't change the weather. But I caught myself before I said it. And the whole thing of like, is that too good to be true? Or what's the truth about this? I had to stop myself and say, wait, we see people get cured from cancer. We see people's like limbs grow back from nothing. I mean, we haven't seen, but we've like heard stories or different things like this, right? Those things aren't in the Bible. Changing the weather, that's right there. I mean, it's just like, it is like something we should expect to be able to do. And not just like in a flippant way, like, oh, it's beach day, got the day off, you know, like, but when it matters, like we saw Jesus do that. We saw Elijah do that. In James, that's like the example of like how we should live. It's like, well, Elijah was just a normal guy and he prayed. And I've caught myself multiple times almost saying that and then be like, no, like this is, you can change the weather, and then being challenged to try it. And I don't know, weather's weird because like even the people who do predict the weather are like wrong more often than not, so it's like a little weird. But but having a couple experiences where I just felt stuck, like Katie and I were camping on a back road that was in a flash flood warning zone with a huge like mud road that we weren't sure if we could get up if it started to rain. And we heard that the forecast was like 80% to 90% thunderstorms all night. And we're just like, shoot, if we're camping and we didn't have anywhere else to go other than maybe just like find the Walmart parking lot or something. And so we're just back there and we said, you know what? We can't afford this right now. Like if we don't know if we'll get out of here. So rain, you have to not come. Like we're out in the morning, you come in the morning, we're out of this road. But in Jesus' name, you don't come. And it sprinkled a little bit, but it barely got stuff wet. And it was just like, I don't know. I'd like to say, yeah, that's how it works, right? Maybe the forecast is wrong. But the weird thing, or the fun thing, is it's happened 3 or 4 times now, right? Like over the past month or so, where we gotta get ourselves in situations that aren't so sticky, right? But and it's not like a desperate thing sometimes. Like it happened twice when we were on that camping trip. But it also happened, I was taking our kids, I was taking my students on a leadership retreat. And it was just one of those things where we had put in a ton of work leading up to it. And again, it was forecast terrain. And if that had happened during the day we left, you know, we got up there at noon, we were leaving at 11 or 10 the next morning. And it's just like, if it happens, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we've done all this preparation. I don't know what these kids are going to do if it's just raining. We're going to be like stuck in our tents and not getting anything done. It's like, I don't need it to not rain for 3.5 years. But just like, if we just push it back, even overnight, it can rain overnight when we're not doing anything. And it's been a stretch for me because, again, it's weird to like walk out in a field and talk to the sky. But every time, I mean, it was overcast all day, but every time it would start to sprinkle, I would just edge away and just be like, no, like 10 a.m. tomorrow, maybe tonight, but not now. And it held off 3 or 4 times that afternoon. And so each time it started, it's like, no. And so just that thing of like, what's too good to be true, right? I mean, this is that stuff. We said it's like that stuff that's deep down, like when it comes down, do I agree with it or do I believe it, right? It's just like, okay, I believe, no, I'm gonna read the Bible and say, yeah, Jesus changed the weather, Elijah did, we're instructed to do it. It's not like a selfish thing. It's not a weird thing. It is a weird thing, but it doesn't have to be a weird thing. So that's been a really interesting paradigm shift for me, but it's been good to challenge, like to push back on that.
Any other celebrations? Epiphanies? Got another one?
Well,
hit him hard, Rod.
It's getting more into specifics then.
That's
so,
great.
Like, there's many in this journey, I suppose. There's been many times where there's been these like paradigm switches, which have made all the difference. But probably one of the biggest ones of all was there was this misconception that whenever people today start operating. In the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whenever they start getting too spirit focused or whatever,
Holy weird ones.
Chaos is sure to follow. Essentially, people falling over, making dead, just slain in the spirit. You got people who reportedly seize, like actually have seizures. You have all these crazy, chaotic moments. And that was something that I really had a hard time with. I think anyone should have a hard time with. But essentially, one of the biggest things was studying in the Bible. And God's number one enemy in the entire Old Testament was chaos itself. Like, basically, just through a lot of like nerdy scriptural themes and stuff, there's a lot of things that are like symbols or entities of chaos. Everything from like the Canaanites to like the sea that God parted. You know, like apparently water is synonymous with chaos in a lot of Hebrew thought. But like God is against and opposed to chaos, and we can confide in that. And so that was a big thing when I had looked around and I'm like, hold on. When the Holy Spirit, which is God, acts in our lives, it is not chaotic. And that seems like a really bold statement. Like, oh, Robbie, are you sure you can say that? Well, it's a matter of knowing God, which we can do. We can know God and we can confide in him. And when he reveals things to us, we can confide in that as well. I think it's safe to say that God is not a God of chaos, and therefore God will not be chaotic. And so we don't have to worry about if things are going to get chaotic. They can get weird, but not chaotic. Things can still get weird. In fact, going off of that, it's very clear if you read the Bible that God pushes people out of their comfort zones a lot, but he never actually is chaotic. And so that's a huge realization for me that has allowed me to come to terms with a lot of these things and say that, like, okay, well, I can get behind that. Now that brings up a lot of other questions that I haven't necessarily been able to answer all of those, but it's getting nearer and nearer to the point. And the point is, at least in my personal journey, me actually seeking out and operating in these gifts. So I'm getting closer and closer to that point. And I think as a church, we can glean some understanding from that as well. So it's just the classic T-chart, misconception, truth.
Yeah, it's a classic T-chart.
Classic.
Yeah.
I think thanks for sharing that, Robbie. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because what any person considers chaotic is going to be somewhat culturally influenced,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I know people who would think that standing up and, like, raising your hands is chaotic, right? Like,
right.
How dare you calm down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what?
It's distracting.
Then flags are just right out. Yeah. So, like, there is some trickiness to that, right? Like,
yeah.
Where is my cultural line versus,
right.
But I think what you kind of anchored it in, ultimately, it's about trusting God's character, that whatever, even if it is uncomfortable for us, the kind of chaos that is detrimental will not come from God. And
right.
So we can trust that even if he pulls us into stuff that looks weird or feels maybe chaotic to us,
yeah.
It's not the kind of chaos that is detrimental or destructive.
Exactly.
Because we've been talking about, like, the tendency that we can have sometimes to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater, where it's like, well, this has been done badly, so we're going to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the answer to things being done badly isn't not to do them, it's to do them well, right? So, like...
Yeah. Actually, just heard I just listened to a sermon on the way here about that, so...
Yeah.
Double dipping.
He's so spiritual.
I guess there's no sermon tonight. You're like, I gotta get this in. Just discussion.
He doesn't have a separation between his spiritual life and the rest of his life.
Yeah. When I did YWAM, I came from a Lutheran church that was actually fairly Pentecostal, which is a weird combo.
Pentecostal?
Yeah, something. But I went into this, not YouthWorks, that's the other organization, YWAM thing, and there were people there who, like, loved the Slain in the Spirit, like,
mm-hmm.
like, they kept talking to me, and they're like, dude, you just gotta try it, like, let me pray over you, and I'd be like, no, get back, right, but it was like,
you have a stick.
I know, get out of here, and there was probably, like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 people that just loved it, and I couldn't figure out how to process it necessarily, and I even had, like, one of the ladies who's, like, one of the leaders was like, hey, can I pray that that the Holy Spirit would fall on you? And I straight up told her no, because I was like, I don't, this is weird, like, I can't wrap my head around this. And I kept, like, getting kind of forced in these situations where I would see people, like, in ways that were not my norm and not, like, I was not comfortable around it. And there are certain ones where it was like, this straight up doesn't feel like it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because every single time I was in one of those situations, I was like, I would like to leave and never experience this again. But then, like, God being good kept putting me in situations where I kept, like, learning more about him. And I remember there was one time where we're in, like, the basement of a bowling alley praying with these group of, like, we were upstairs, but then the witchcraft group came and said they didn't want to be with us, so we had to go into the basement. Yeah, it was great. But I remember at that point, we were with a group of Christians that, like, were praying in tongues and, like, praying for all of these, like, big miraculous things, and I all of a sudden, like, felt God's presence in the midst of what normally would have felt like a really chaotic thing that I kept trying to avoid, But in that moment, God was like, dude, like, some of this stuff is actually, like, real and good and from me.
Yeah.
It's not something that you need to always push away or throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I was kind of, like, floored at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It kind of comes back to when we first started talking about all this, that our goal is to do this well, like, and to process through so that we can be a place where we experience these things in a way that is damaging to people, right? Like, that's, sorry, Matt.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask again if you could be more specific about things that people were praying for.
No, they were cool. So this group of people, I, like, wish I would have kept in contact with them because they, like, kind of blew my mind. Their goal was to evangelize to people who are in witchcraft and, like, the circles of people around them. So, like, they were, the people they knew were doing, like, miracles, but not in the name of Jesus. And so they were like, our God is bigger and stronger, and so we're going to pray that he does bigger and stronger things than these people. And I was just like, what? Like, that's
a available.
I know, I was like, that's a thing that still happens? Like, this is an Old Testament thing. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
What?
And
I don't know, I didn't keep in contact with him. But
I wish you would.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We know you see Ingrid and her family, and you see the chaos, and you see the places in her heart that are aching for something and that she's looking to fill. And in chaos, we often grasp for something that gives us a sense of power or stability. And yeah, Wicca offers a lot of that false kind of stuff. And so, Lord, I feel for this girl, and I ask, Lord, that you would show her yourself as the true foundation that she needs for her feet, and that she would, that you would bring someone into her life who, and maybe it's Annabelle here, that would be able to demonstrate that you are stronger, and not just in a way that is like bullying kind of, but the kind of strength that we can trust, the kind of strength that comes with peace and with gentleness, the kind of strength that comes underneath us and serves us and blesses us rather than just looks to control. And so we pray for her family as well, that you would give them wisdom, that they would be drawn to you and to a true experience of you, and so that they would know how to minister to her. But we know, Lord, that your kingdom is like
you know, it starts really small and looks unimpressive, but that it grows and it grows, and in the end it is powerful and draws people to itself. So we pray that the seed of the kingdom that is planted in that family would grow and would bear fruit, and that you would bring them all into just a really beautiful relationship with you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Anybody else got something fun? Your mind.
Oh, you haven't gone yet? Man, what, how long are we talking for, guy here?
Not very long.
That's
what
cool.
Time is it?
Time for your share.
Yeah.
5:10.
Hmm?
5:10.
5:10. What does that mean? All right. So, it takes me a minute to process. How long do
you have? 8 minutes for your story.
I can do that.
Just kidding.
So, background for this, many of you have heard the story of how I started following Jesus. The short version is there was a demon in my car, and I was like, oh shoot, I'm in trouble. I was like, Jesus, and then I was like, get out, right? And it was gone. That's the short version.
Oh,
so I've been very convinced, yeah. So I've been very convinced from the very moment that I started following Jesus that, like, we have authority over Satan when we are in Christ, right? Because, like, I was about 2 seconds old in Christ, and it had to do what I told it to, right? So I have like a real deep conviction, like when you talk about agreeing or believing, like I believe that, because, so when it comes to like fighting against demons, like you bring it, like they're going down, right? I get a little fired up, and I have absolutely no question in my mind that they have to submit, like zero question, like there is no other option, like bring on the fight, I will win. So, like for real, right? Like I just know that, like I know it. It's maybe the thing I know the most, other than like ultimately God is good. Like, yeah, so, anyway, so I had this, like, we've been praying about sickness a lot, because, like, I have this stupid autoimmune disorder, and Timothy, we found it has, like, an aneurysm, and that's really not cool at all, and so we got some stuff that we really need to, like, deal with, right, and we've been praying a lot, and, like, proclaiming and commanding health, and I realized that in my mind, there's, like, this different perspective when I'm dealing with healing. Dealing with healing. And it's, there's like more of like a, I hope it works, mm-hmm. right? Whereas when it's a demon, I'm like, we're done here. Like, book closed, end of story. But it's been striking me that like, really what's the difference? Because sickness, either it has a demon directly behind it, or it is an ultimate result of Satan's influence in the world. So why is it any different? Like, why do I not have the same, like, we're done here, as I do with an obvious demon? I haven't managed to incorporate it all the time, but I feel like that is a new perspective that is helpful for me to, like, walk in greater authority when it comes to physical healing, because every promise is yes in Christ, and one of that is that by his stripes we have been healed. So we're done here, right? Like aneurysm, you're done. Like, you're done. So that's where I'm trying to go.
Since we're talking about healing, this is something that I was meditating on when I did my homework, was that it's not that I don't have the faith that people are healed. It's, is my relationship with God still good even if they aren't? And like, while we were in Australia, I had two friends. One was healed of cancer, and, well, I had more than two friends. But the first one, the story of the healing of cancer was just amazing, which I can go into another time. But my other friend is like, kind of like a mom to me, and she, out of the clear blue sky, had a stroke one day, and she, from that moment on, couldn't see, and that's 3.5, almost 4 years ago, and she's a mighty woman of God, and all she sees is, she describes it as darkness with a little bit of moonlight, so she's legally blind, and as I was processing prays, just like you were saying, she prays for healing. She believes that it's not God's will for her to be blind. She wants healing so bad, and she's had everyone under the sun like pray for this healing. And I've been journeying with her kids, who are my age, and saying, what if, you know, like we do believe, and we've prayed with such great faith that her sight would be restored. But if it's not, are we okay with living in that gray world with God? And for the past probably 3 years, whenever I come to God about almost anything, whenever I sit in silence and meditate, I feel like he basically has the same message for me, which is, you're still thinking so small. You're still thinking so small, Sean. I'm so much more than what you ever imagined or dreamed. And when I did my homework and I was thinking about Yvonne, I was thinking about the blindness, and I was wondering about healing, and I thought, is that the answer here? Is that the answer, God, that I'm still thinking too small of you? Like, are you big enough to hold this? Is it me trying to see the universe through $5 binoculars? Like, I don't see all that he sees. I don't understand. And I think I'm back to that like classic conundrum of like, I don't understand how God heals some people and not others. It's not gonna break my faith, but man, it's how do I hold my faith in the light of that? And I just didn't know whether anyone here might have any like divine wisdom I haven't been able to download. Sorry, just one more thing. I kind of feel like, yeah, it's hard for me to see Yvonne saying, he will heal me, I believe he will. And to me, it's kind of like black and white thinking, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer, and I'm not saying, well, he either will or he won't. I'm saying, what about the gray areas? Yeah.
I think one thing we've been wrestling through and trying to come to a conviction about is that, like, how do I wear there is that question, right? Like, obviously there is that question. But I think for me the temptation is to go, well, then I will settle for that, and I will be like, well, God's bigger, so I won't get my hopes up. Whereas what I respect about your friend is that she's saying, I'm not going to let my experience, like we've said this phrase a few times, I'm not going to let my experience determine my theology. I'm going to hold on to what I believe, and even if I don't see it, like, I'm not going to give it up. And yeah, we end up in the gray area, right? But for me, it's like, I want my thinking to be in the, like, this is the truth, and maybe I have to live in the gray, but I'm going to keep my convictions in every promise is yes in Christ. Like, and I'm struggling with that as well. I feel like this whole process, like, I didn't come with baggage. I feel like I'm actually developing more baggage through this whole process. But it's like, am I gonna like, start to accept less? Because there is God being bigger in the sense of, like, maybe he's doing something mysterious, but there's also the God being bigger and, like, he can do it. And, you know, so that's not a divine wisdom. It's just my experience right now.
Just a kind of a response to that, maybe, is in the sermon I was listening to earlier today, it was about spiritual gifts and stuff, so it was kind of like in preparation.
We get it, Rob. You're really spiritual.
Sorry. That's not what I'm trying to say. But anyway, this guy, his name was Sam Storms. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. But
cool name, though.
Yeah, right?
He's a superhero, right?
No, might as well be. He's really, really interesting because he actually has Reformed theology, and a lot of people with Reformed theology are like total cessationists. And they don't believe in like the modern work of the Holy Spirit today, but he is like a huge advocate for like the work of the Holy Spirit, and like he's charismatic, but he his vision is to go to people with Reformed theology and kind of convict them on that, which is really kind of a neat thing. But that said, he's very cautious, which is maybe the type of thing that I need a little bit, just because of my background. But one thing that he wants to be really clear about is he kind of puts forward like this distinction between like gifts of the Spirit that like you can operate in like any time and they are in your pocket, and like gifts of the Spirit that like are not like in your pocket, like you can't whip them out, like you can't like whip out like if you're a teacher, perhaps you can like whip out like, oh, like here's my teaching, okay, but if you are a healer or prophecy only, like you can't just whip out prophecy and say like, hey, I would really like to have a prophetic word right now, so I'm just going to whip that one out. That's something that is more occasional, and healing is the same way. Like you heal, you pray for healing for somebody, and you pray for healing for somebody else. And just one of the realities of the situation is, like what you said, somebody is healed, and then maybe somebody's not. So like, I think we gotta be like, it's not as though like we have failed in like our end of the bargain. It's not like what you said, like you guys have been praying in faith, in tremendous faith, and I don't know if it's any of our rights to say, well, no, it wasn't in enough faith or anything like that. That's not the right response. But perhaps a more accurate response is that there's something perhaps on the other end. Not that God doesn't want that person to be healed per se, but something that one of the teachers at Bethany said once that I just found really interesting is he said, this is a personal conviction, this isn't gospel or anything, but he said, it is my personal conviction that if you pray for healing for somebody in faith, because that is an element, you know, like we can't like sell ourselves short, like what you're saying. I agree with like what you're saying, like you can't sell yourself short and just be like, oh well, it's probably not going to happen, so I'm not going to pray for it. You can't do that. But when you pray in boldness and something doesn't happen, his opinion is that therefore God has some other purpose for it. Like woman that you said you're friends with, who said like, my disability is very much part of my story, and I can use that. God has given me that as a tool to use. You know, that concept, and we can't trivialize it either. Like there's so much gray, but we can't trivialize it and say like, well, okay, well, you're blind, so you'll see things in the spirit. That's not a given. That's not something that is guaranteed to blind people. It could happen.
Well, if it is, though, I'm going to go with not on that one, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to, because, think about the kind of God we're painting a picture of, if that's where we go.
Sure.
It's a God who's really fickle, who says, I'm going to keep you sick, but I'm not going to tell you why. I have a purpose, but you're in the dark about it, you're suffering. I'm keeping you suffering, and I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to give you what seems like promises in my word of healing, but I'm going to hold out on you for some mysterious reason that you're not privy to. Like, that's not the kind of God I believe in. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's possible for what you're saying to be true, or it's possible for somebody actually not to want to be healed. Like, that's their right, you know? But if someone is yearning to be healed, if it were true that God had some reason for that, don't you think, based on what we see of his character as a God who reveals,
mm-hmm.
like Jesus is the revelation of God. Like if anything else, we see that in Christ, God wants to reveal as much of himself as possible. So
mm-hmm.
he is by nature a revealer. You know, it says, no eye has seen nor ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed it to us by his Spirit,
right?
It is part of his nature to be a revealer. So, and he's a good father. He's a good father. So if he's asking us to suffer, don't you think he'd let us in on why? Don't you think he'd say, hold on, kiddo, like, I'm with you in this. I've got something. You're going to see it's worth it in the end.
You're gonna see, I'm gonna be with you. I even had that happen on an emotional level. Like, some of you were around when I was in a rather tumultuous relationship that blew up in my face. And, I was super codependent, and this engagement I was in broke off, and as Kirstie at the moment said, it's gonna feel like coming off crack. And I was like climbing the walls. And it did, right? It was awful. But I had this moment while I was still like so in the middle of the pain and the confusion and the not actually wanting to let go of it, even though it was super unhealthy, of God going, if you hang on to me through this, I am going to bring you out the other side better. And it was this deep revelation and conviction that was such a comfort. Mm-hmm. And it was true. Man, I'm a completely different person. So I feel like if God has purpose in suffering, like I would never ask Eliana to suffer. If I had the power to heal her, I would never ask her to suffer without telling her why. Mm-hmm. And God is a better parent than I am. Mm-hmm. So we do end up gray area. But I'm going to go with your friend in saying God is the kind of God who heals. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, there's something else going on, but it's not on God. It's not on him. Because what kind of God is that? That's a fickle God who I can't actually rely on. Because his promises are like apparently contingent on circumstances that I don't have any insight into. That's not the kindness of the Lord that I see.
Well, I always go right towards Scripture. And about the Spirit, by the way, First Colossians 14 says a lot about that. And I've read that recently. And I'm seeing some other verse up here. It says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you're well again, stop sinning and something worse may happen to you. And that's in John 5, verse 14. The reason why Jesus is saying that is because a lot of times the reason why we're suffering is because of a result of sin, you know? And we have to figure out what that could be so we can, correct it and be, that could be it as well as it could be a trust issue, you know? Because I've suffered, you know, not only with sickness, but with other things in my life. And it's all about a test of trust. Because he wants us all to pass different tests that we have in life so we can come out to the other side being stronger and better in our faith and be stronger and better as people. So suffering is not all that bad. It's just testing our faith to see where we're sinning. And also to have, it's like holding on to Jesus' hand through the storm. You know, if we come through that, then we're okay, and we're also stronger and better. Mm-hmm. So,
I think we're treading like a fine line here, because things like suffering builds character. Like, that's true, right? Like, that's the Bible, right? Or that, if sinning can produce suffering, because if you like do there's just like physical natural consequences, right? Like if I just, I don't know, whatever, overdose, that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's back to a little bit of what Molly was talking about with the character of God, of he doesn't test us to see if we're gonna fail,
right?
And he doesn't like send us through hardship to see if we'll sin, right? Like, that's not, again, it's back to the character of God. Like, that's not the God we follow. And when we look at Scripture, we don't see him setting people up to be tested. So, like, classic thing is like, well, what about Job? And so, well, he allowed Job to go through some stuff, but that was not God doing that to him. And we don't have any examples of that being on God through Scripture, where he's the one, like, setting us up or making something happen to us. And I think that's kind of two of the big things that we've come up against with this over the last year or whatever is, you know, when we pray, like, well, God, heal this person if it's your will. And it's like, no, it is. And I think along that same line of, like, well, remove this thing from them unless you're testing them. And it's we've kind of just had to come and just say, like, no, that's just not, we don't see that in scripture, it's not who God is, he doesn't test people. And so, way back, this like started from you, right? This is growing, Sharni, this is good.
So good.
But I think part of it is really tricky because sometimes it's very theoretical. And like for you, this is like a real thing we're talking about. Like, this is your friend, right? And like we can kind of hem and haw and like quote some verses or whatever, but like it's real. But I think that's kind of the tricky part is like, well, where do we take what we're agreeing with, where we're seeing things in scripture and then start applying that? And that is that tricky spot we're in. So I guess I just want to acknowledge that as I'm at least just talking with this, it's not like a real thing for me, the way it maybe is for you in this. I felt like I had something else to say to go along with that. Molly probably knows what it is.
What about sinning?
Go nuts. Yeah,
well,
it wasn't, but yeah.
The other part of that I think is, like, as you said, yes, sin can certainly result in suffering. And I think Jesus, you know, said that to that man, I think, out of kindness, not out of, like, a watch out, you know? But I think if sin in our lives is a barrier to healing, then we are all screwed, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if God only heals us when we've stopped sinning, like, that, then it is cessationism, like, right? Because none of us are there. And so I think that we need to have confidence that in God's character, not in ours, right? That's kind of the basis of our entire faith, is God's faithfulness, not our own. And so if he's merciful, then he's merciful. And there isn't some, like, well, you gotta be this holy before God can heal you. Like, that seems really arbitrary. And again, why hasn't he let us in on where that line is? Like, because I would like to get up to that line. If that's what's keeping me from being fully healed, I would like to just know where my areas of sin are that I need to stop, because that's some serious motivation. Like, I should probably be motivated regardless. But you know, anyway, like, it's an arbitrary kind of God who would say there's this line to be holy enough to get healed, but not tell us where it is and not actually say that to us. You know, so like, yes, sin can result in suffering, but I don't think that it keeps us from being healed, right? Like, that man was healed.
Yeah.
Jesus said, stop sinning or something worse may happen, but his sin didn't keep him from being healed.
No.
He was healed.
Yeah.
So, did that trigger anything you were going to say? Otherwise, I think Patrick had a
thought. Oh, Molly is like, just...
I know!
Like, just all over the place.
It's
go
happens when we live in the same house and talk about it all the time. Like, the one who dropped
which
dead
one?
Is the really encouraging
bad one.
Good on that Ananias. Sweet.
You know how we always sort of forget our dreams when we wake up? Maybe your friend forgot to dream and this Ananias is over. And the healing's there, just,
somebody's not being faithful to a calling to get those scales off. That would be lame.
It's true.
But, like, there's always a chance that there's like a responsibility some of us have that we're like flopping on, right? Like that's a real thing. And like, anyway, yeah.
Mine isn't really an answer, but I just keep thinking, by way of processing this with you, you know, like God does unexpected things so often. At least, you know, like we see that we the things I've walked through.
Do you have a hand raised?
I did. Yeah. I think my main reflection in trying to do my homework is I could never summon any one thing that was like, I don't have an issue with that. I grew up Pentecostal, and so there was plenty of moments where I wanted to reject things or say no more of this, whatever. But there's never been like any one thing like, that's just ridiculous. I'm gonna write it off, because if you spend enough time being patient. conversation with God about it, there's plenty of reasons why he might do it in any given thing at any moment. And so I have no real reason not to accept any charismatic thing. As long as we have reasonable boundaries. But my point being is, like we could come up with something real wild and be like, I forget it, you know? If we really thought about it. But anyways.
Oh, like the barking dogs?
Yeah, I have no reason for that. That's crazy. But maybe God did something for that. Maybe for like a specific person experienced something phenomenal. I don't know. But I realize that where I'm at is I am hesitant to step out in faith and try things because I've already written everyone else off for doing weird things that I don't trust. And so because I've already said, yeah, whatever. Now, I'm afraid that I'm going to step out and do something, and then everyone else is going to say, oh, there's an avalanche, whatever. And I say that somehow in answer to the question about your friend Sean about, like, I think we could come up with a lot of doors behind which the answer might be hiding. But I think I still feel challenged to continue to step out in faith and keep trying, regardless. But the hesitance and seems quite a
bit. I think Andrew's going to say,
oh,
but can I just say very, very short?
Yeah.
One of the great things we know,
off.
Angela, about what you were saying is that even if God's will isn't being done in healing, he certainly will do something with it, right? And that is another thing that maybe later, okay. It doesn't, like, yeah, he will do something with it. We're trying to wrap up.
Okay, cool.
Andrew's gonna
quit talking, man. We're trying to quit. Again, Sean, knowing this is real for you and not for me, which is like a practical thing that I've just had a good time mulling over, and I don't know. It's not biblical. We'll start there. But this guy who does. I knew you would be.
He's already a heretic.
This guy that does a lot of praying and stuff. And was trying to answer the same question. You know, it's like the classic healing question. Like, why doesn't it happen, right? And he just said, well, by your stripes you're healed. So that's taken care of already. And believers lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so if they're not recovered, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And he just said he has noticed just by his own like scientific approach to healing that like what you're doing is when you are praying for healing for someone, you are bringing life to them. And sometimes it just takes a little bit more life and you just fill them up, so to speak. And so if you pray once and it doesn't happen, you pray again, that doesn't happen, you pray again, and eventually you just pump them full of enough life that they get healed. And again, it's not biblical, but it's just something he's noticed that sometimes you might have more faith for one thing and less for another. And so maybe you pray for something and, oh, my headache's gone, great. And then you're like, all right, now I got this rash, and it takes 3 or 4 times. It's like, well, I guess you just didn't have enough faith for that. Or I don't know what necessarily the reason is, but the promises are still there that if you continue to pray, they'll recover. And so I guess, if anything, just an encouragement to keep praying. And I know that can be frustrating. You're like, yeah, 3 or 4 times is one thing, but 200 is another, you know. But
if the alternative is accepting it,
yeah,
forget that.
Yeah. Screw you, Satan.
Exactly.
Yeah, what?
I think we just
keep going,
we
huh?
We give up too much.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with the distinction between teaching gift and healing gift, those kind of things. And we learn how to use a teaching gift. I think we can learn how to use healing. And maybe we just don't know how to do it.
That's what we're working on.
Man, are we ever, yeah.
So I think that's true. And I know we've had a few experiences in Newtown, where Percy, not me. Of healing people, and it's like,
you sure it wasn't
what do you even do over there?
All the stories about Kirsty.
Are you sure it wasn't just the pot plants?
But it was
that was
like
2 years ago. They don't even remember that comment.
Nothing happened, and so she go, well, let me pray again.
Yeah.
And she kept doing that until something happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
be your story.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And it was a couple of years before that I sort of just met in Thomas. It just was every time I come across someone who said, I'm just going to pray for him, and I had so many moments, like just so many times that happened. Just, yeah, I was just like, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'll keep doing it, and that was really exciting.
That's where we're at. We're just going to keep doing it, because, like, Timothy keeps coming back to, like, sometimes Satan is just more patient than us, and he wins because we give up. And like, screw that guy.
What happens next? I wasn't here at the beginning. Are we playing jams or are we just having
food?
No,
just food.
Sweet. Jesus, we thank you that you're real. We thank you that we can learn to follow you more and more, and that we can practice like being who you created us to be, and just figuring that out. And so we thank you that you guide us. We thank you that we have time to be guided together and to spur each other on. And so we just, like, take this as a starting point in this conversation, but just give it to you, and that it's not something that needs to wait till next month's discussion to happen, or can only happen with, I don't know, certain people or whatever, but just that we can take this and just run with it and revisit these things and mull things over and continue to grow and sharpen each other. And we just thank you for this group of people to just learn to live life well together with. And so even now, just as we eat, just bless the food and bless the conversation, that we would just encourage each other and be strengthened. And as we go from here this week, that we would just step into those challenges of, you know, do I do this? Do I not do this? Or, you know, what am I really going to believe? Or what am I just going to agree with cognitively? Like, let us step into those things and just really run this race well. And come back with stories of how you are good and how we've seen each other be faithful to do things. And, yeah. So we thank you for this time, and thank you that you love us, and that we can, love you back by the way we live. In your name, amen.
Amen.